Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your paths. This program's about a process that I call diaprax. It's simply the combination of two words, the dialectic process and praxis, in other words, the practice of this way of thinking. God says, my ways are not your ways, neither your thoughts my thoughts. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So God has a paradigm that is different than our paradigm. God has a way of thinking that is not our way of thinking. Our way of thinking, our leaning to our own understanding, is upon our experiences in life. And those experiences tie us to the creation. From the moment we came into this life, our needs, our sensuous needs, were all satisfied from the things of the world. There comes a time, though, where we learn that those sensuous needs are not the real purpose in life. That as we're giving commands that don't directly tie us to the creation, but commands that block us from our relationship with the creation, that insist that we honor, that we obey authority greater than the laws of nature. You know, Paul talked about the laws of the flesh. Those are laws of nature. And the laws of the flesh, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are simply the result of us insisting upon that relationship between the environment and our mind that produces pleasure as well as to avoid pain. So that's the carnal man. That's the natural man. That's why we've all come into this world condemned, because we're tied to the creation. God formed us from the dust of the ground. But He also breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of man, and he became a living soul. So He also gave us faith. Now, the social engineers don't recognize faith. They recognize it only in a sense that it's a cause for neurosis. They would say faithfulness. It's a feeling. But it's a feeling that must be used for the sake of continuing human relationship. But see, it's impossible to please God without faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Other words, information that comes into our life, not from the creation, but from the Creator. And this dialectical process, which is all about feelings and thinking about feelings and observing the environment that stimulates the feelings to continue the cycle of environment stimulating pleasure. The mind then looks into the environment, self looks into the environment for more pleasure, and so the cycle goes on. And that's the very foundation of humanism, globalism, communism, socialism, communism, democratization, conscientization, all kinds of terms. Different renditions or rearrangements of the same process. The same process that we find in the garden, where sensuous need to touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, those are all sensuous needs that are all triggered by the environment. And we look into the environment, sense perception. We look into the environment to what created this pleasure. And therein, with our minds, we're able to then either continue relationship with whatever it is in the environment that produced pleasure, not for the sake of the relationship with whatever it is, but for the sake of that relationship continuing to produce pleasure in our life. That's the humanistic. That's human rights. When you hear about human rights, those are rights that must be always practiced, that no standard can come in and interfere with this environment, self, mind, look into the environment, continue this relationship with the cosmic forces. Now, we've been covering Irvin Yalom, and I want to get through this. We've spent quite a bit of time the first 2 hours of this program, not this program, but of this series. I really was spending more time on the process itself. But let's just pick up where we left off in the last program. I'm quoting from Irvin Yalom's book. Now, this is counseling. This is the very structure. Now, people may not use in counseling Irvin Yalom's book, Theory and Practice in Group Psychotherapy, but it is the structure. And I use his material because it is the most clear. It's just in your face, as if you were listening to the last program. So we'll just pick up. He writes, a group, that's all about groups, because Kurt Lewin said you can change your beliefs and values, your system. See, not your belief and values, but your system, your paradigm. by the group. Now, Irving Yalom says, a group which reaches an autonomous decision based on a thorough exploration of the pertinent problems will employ all of its resources in support of its decision. Now, it's important to understand what he means by that. What Yalom means by this autonomous decision is that everybody must be willing participants. In other words, not force, not a higher authority, not a standard from a parent or from God or from any higher authority guiding the person. It has to be automatic. It has to come from within themselves. And the only thing we have within ourselves that's tied to the creation is the flesh. See, it is not in man to direct his steps. From God, God's paradigm, it is not in man to direct his steps. But in the world's humanistic perspective, it is in man to direct his steps. And so this autonomous decision, based upon thorough exploration, now, in other words, we have to inquire. It's called critical theory. We have to question everything that shows today. You know, Einstein's law of relativity. You have to question everything. Everything is relative to the experience, to the environment, to the mass, to whatever is around. The environment is the key to understanding truth. And so there has to be a thorough exploration of the pertinent problems, the crisis that we all employ, all of our resources in support of its decision. In other words, if I can get a group, a youth group, to justify whatever action it is required, even quote-unquote in the name of Jesus, they will use all their resources, in support of the decision. They will be loyal to the cause. They will be loyal to the group. They will be loyal to whatever the leader is directing them in, because they are free now to incorporate their flesh in the outcome. He writes, members must develop a feeling of mutual trust and respect, and we covered this last week, and must come to value the group as an important means of meeting their personal needs. And so your personal needs, your sensuous needs, cannot be satisfied outside of the group. Now, this is the Catholicism. This is the Protestant church is now built on Catholicism. Luther talked about the priesthood of all believers. You can stand alone. You need no man to teach you. Does that mean you don't listen? You don't take classes? Sure you do. But you make sure those men are men of God who are preaching and teaching from the Word of God, because your interest is in the Word of God itself. And then the byproduct of that is relationship. But no, this is that it's the group itself that is the foundation for the meaning of life. Once a member, Yalom says, realizes that others accept him and are trying to understand him. Now, isn't that interesting? God's effort is to understand us. It is your mission, your purpose in life is to understand other men? No, it is to know the truth and proclaim the truth. God understands them. God is going to speak to their soul through you as you share his word. If you lean to your own understanding, you're going to manipulate. That's what this is all about. It's all about deceit and manipulation. So once a member, once you in this group realize that everybody is accepting you and they're trying to understand you, then, he says, you find it less necessary to hold to something. What? Once you get in a youth group and you find that this is an approval group, they're wanting your relationship with them, then you find it is less necessary to hold rigidly to your parents and God's beliefs, to hold to the higher authority, to hold to that voice that speaks into you, not from the creation. This is abomination, folks, and this is the very heart and soul of the quote-unquote youth groups in the church. This is the same process for total quality management in the workplace, total quality leadership in the Navy. You know, acronym after acronym, the ISOs. You know, this is the procedure of a diverse group. You have to have diversity. We bring in the deviant. We bring in the different. And, of course, we'd say, well, that's good, you know, we're ministering to their needs. And then you dialogue, how do you feel, what do you think, and you move away from God's paradigm, which is preach and teach, an adult up there, somebody who's mature, or at least somebody who knows right from wrong and preaching what is right and growing in the knowledge of the Word of God, is proclaiming it, unashamed of the gospel. Well, these people say, we're not ashamed of the gospel. Well, let me tell you something. The gospel incorporates the law of God. Without the law of God, there is no contrition and there is no gospel. God's love and his law are one. The law condemns you. The law is perfect. The law is spirit. The law is Jesus. Jesus came and fulfilled the law. The law is God. The purpose of the law is to tell you that you're not God. You can't do it. And without the law, you become God. Your feelings now are a part of the outcome. And God's saying, no, your feelings are not. It's your obedience. Taking captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. He was obedient unto death. And he's called you to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow him. If you're based on feelings, you're not going to do that. You know, you might be an innocent bystander and vicariously do it, but in reality, you're not going to do it. You're deceived. And so the whole message today is to get in the group and get the feelings flowing, get the juices flowing, get the environment where now we cannot function outside of the group. And once that group think becomes your foundation, it's not necessary that you hold rigidly, listen to this statement, rigidly to his own beliefs, to your own beliefs. Now, he's not going to be converted from his belief because of the Word of God. He's going to be changed from his belief because of belongingness to the group. This is a whole different paradigm. This is a paradigm built on feelings and thinking and leaning to man's reasoning. And he may be willing to explore previously denied aspects of himself to discover his potential. This is all that Satan was doing with Eve, allowing her to be freed from the rigidity of cannot and must not and thou shalt not that interfered with her self-environment dialectical cycle. Then he writes, one of the most fascinating aspects of group therapy is that everyone is born again, born together in the group. Now, I quote that over and over. Let me tell you, folks, every counselor who gets you in the room, I don't care how ordained, how many degrees, how many seminaries, how many times they've read through the Bible, every so-called minister of God that gets you in the room, husband and wife and children, and asks you how you feel and what you think, and does it in a group setting. And you can do this individually as well, but it's just easier in a group. And it gets you to where you now make decisions upon the relationship with others in this world. That's your foundation. The environment moves you. Your worth is based upon your participation in the environment in this world. You are being born again. Not born again of the spirit. You're being born again of the flesh. And you can do this in the name of Jesus. And here is he's saying it right there. This is the group think. This is that people say to you, well, what about your children's social life? Come on down to the youth group and get born again in a group. And we'll make sure it's done in the name of Jesus. You know, when you're born again, you die to yourself. It has your flesh is dead. The environment no longer controls you. You're now controlled, you're guided, you're directed, your purpose, everything in life. You're not driven, you're drawn. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You follow him. That's what sheep do. You drive cattle. See, and so now the fear, see, you're driven because why? Because if you don't go with the group, you're going to be left behind. So it's a fear of men. You fear rejection. You fear social rejection. Well, if you're walking with the Lord, folks, you know, Jesus despised the shame of the cross, but he didn't fear it. He despised it. You might despise nobody talking to you, but you don't fear it because you don't fear man. You fear God. Because you set your mind on things above and not on things of this earth. But people who say, well, they're setting their mind on things above, but they mingle the things of the earth in the Word of God. It's the system, folks. It's the system. They'll change your belief by getting you in the system of the group therapy, the group think, the group hug. How do you feel? What do you think? Unity in the Bible is in doctrine. Two or three are gathered in my name, in Christ. Deny yourself, pick up your cross. The group can't do that. You do that. There's no group conscience. You have the conscience. There's no group soul. You have the soul. And you decide either to walk in him alone. And when you do that, you have to get rid of all your friends. You have to get rid of the group. You have to get rid of your family. Jesus said, come to cause division. You got to lay everything aside and follow him and him alone. And then you'll meet a brother or sister in the Lord doing the same thing. That is the church. The other thing where you get together and do the group hug, that's the Antichrist church. That's a different Christ. That's a different gospel. That's the gospel of the synthesis of the flesh and the Word of God, but you mingle the flesh with the Word of God, how you feel, what do you think, with thus saith the Lord, and you have confusion, and you have Satan's domain. And so, in your face, he says, one of the most important, fascinating aspects of group therapy, of the youth group, is that everyone is born again, born together in the group. Then he says, we must help the patient. See, everybody's a patient. Carl Rogers called it therapy for normals. He must help the facilitator. Must help the youth, must help the adults in their diverse group dialoguing to a consensus over these social issues, relationship with man and the environment and the community in a facilitated meeting. Facilitators do the very same pattern that Satan did on Eve, Adam and Eve. Now, you can use that pattern on rocks and plants and animals. You just find the laws of God. But you use it on man, you could find the law of man. What's that? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's all that Eve found. That's the laws of the flesh. That's all you ever find. And you can cover with scripture. You can cut and paste and rearrange. Put them on there. Cover them up. That's a sheepskin on the wolf. And so he must help the student, or whoever it is, the parent or the church, to solidify the change. And he must encourage generalizations of the change. And so now it's interesting how the word love is used. Oh, you know, you just need to come together in the fellowship and unity and come to us with love. You just have such hate. Do you think when the disciples were fleeing and had fled and the scribes and Pharisees and the religious men were putting Jesus on the cross that they were thinking that he was love? No, he was hateful. They hated him. Because he was hateful. He wasn't groupthink. He wasn't helping them in their approval of men, their respect among men. And you get your child in the youth group, and your child says, but the Word of God says this, and is counter to what the group wants to do. All of a sudden, you know, there's going to be pressure on your child. And if they hold to it, remember last week we talked about being extruded. They're going to be extruded. They're going to be called the hateful. You're just hateful. If they don't shut up, they'll definitely be called hateful. And so everything's generalized. The generalization, it's called general systems theory. God's specific. The Ten Commandments, do you know when somebody quotes the law of God, it goes to your soul? It goes right to your soul. It doesn't go to your head. It goes to your soul. Paul says, with my mind, I love the law of God, but it speaks to your soul. Because it is God. It's a description of God. And it brings you under conviction. And so when you're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, when you give your life to the Lord because you know you're wicked, and there's no hope in you, repentance means you quit dialogue. You can't justify anything. You're dead. You're fried. You're dross. Your best you've ever done is a stench. That's your best. Your best. Until you understand that, you don't understand where you stand before God. That's God's love. He loved you while you stunk. Well, you know, he's just going to take you in a bath and wash you off. No, you totally stunk. There was nothing to wash off. You were dead. And he loved you. And he loves you. And he sent his son to die for you and shed his blood for you and wash you clean. That's his love. That's not our love. Our love is, what can I get out of this for me? That's what all these church growth ministers are doing. What can I get out of this for me? Retirement. And they say, oh man, you know, I publish books and stuff and I don't ask anything from the church. You know, it's interesting. They always look for, I compare this to, say, there's a person that's on an island and, you know, there's a part over here that's desert and there's a part over here that's got a waterfall, and they're going, oh, okay, the water represents a blessing of God. So instead of going to the desert for the blessing of God, you go sit under a waterfall. So these guys go to the big cities, or if they do go into the wilderness, is they make sure it's taped so when they go back to the cities, they'll get the kudos of men. Well, look what we've done. In the name of Jesus. See, there will be men of God who will stand in the front of the line getting blessed from God that the world doesn't even know of. Why? Because they didn't do it for anybody but for the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone, with no recognition, desiring nothing about what can I get out of this for me. He must help the patient solidify the change, and he must encourage generalization of the change, not specific, from the group setting into the patient's larger life environment. What does that mean? That means you learn this group's process. And so you learn to ask people how they feel and what they think. That's how the group grows, and you go out and you practice this in the community. And so when an elder in the church might see heresy going on, and he approached the person who's been in the group meetings with, oh, there's something going on wrong here. You know, my spirit is grieving. Well, how do you feel? What do you think? And they'll bring him in. How can one propose crisp, basic guidelines, Yalom says, for a procedure which has complexity, such range, such delicate timing, so much linguistic nuances? This is complex, folks. It is. It takes years to learn it. It doesn't take very long to learn how to apply it, but to learn how to set it up uniformly so you can go into every institution and apply it, that takes some time. Herein lies the art of psychotherapy. It will come to the therapist as he gains experience. Your minister, every time he goes down to the Minister's Alliance, he's getting experience in the process. Forget about the simplicity of the gospel. That's all negated. That's all gone. That's all because I said so. That's gone. See, is and not. That's gone. Now it's how do you feel, what do you think? And it's a continuum. It's a spectrum. It's a progressivism in the process, further and further down the path. Then he writes, as the comments become more complex and more inferential, means ambiguous. See, the French consider the word ambiguous synonymous with homosexuality. It's ambiguous. Well, we're getting touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, everything that would be involved with procreation, but it's an ambiguous experience, so there's no procreation involved. See, the purpose of life is relationship. So we're going to have lots of leaves on the tree, but no fruit. Well, what? We're going to have fruit. The fruit is the leaves. See, Jesus is what produces the fruit. You're attached to the vine is attached to the root, you know, to the trunk. And the fruit then is a byproduct of your walk with Christ. There's fruit. But no, this isn't fruit. It's perception of fruit. Seems to be fruit. Just a lot of growth. But there's no spiritual growth. There's no dying to self. There's no walking in the Spirit. Oh, in word, but they have a different definition of spirit. Spirit is the relationship between men. So it's linguistic nuances. Herein lies the art of psychotherapy. It will come to the therapist as he gains experience. As the comments become more complex and more inferential, the author of the comments become more removed from the other person. In short, more a therapist process commentator. In other words, you rise above the group without losing contact with a group. Now, this is an important word, process commentator. He writes, the patient bears the responsibility for the creation of his world. Now, you're the creator. Adam was helping Eve to create her world. She had to be experientially involved. She had to be, you know, experiencing God. What does that mean? That means she had to evaluate the situation for herself and incorporate her feelings and her sight and then be willing to participate. So the responsibility, everybody's responsible for the new world order. And if you're not participating, then as we shared last week, you'll become worthless. You're irrelevant. And therefore, the responsibility for the transmutation of this world, the changing of this transformation of this world. Oh, that's a mutant, all right. The patient with a homosexual orientation, as I shared before, adds breadth and depth to the group. And so deviancy becomes the norm, folks. Deviancy is the norm. Yalom says, the third force in psychology, which emphasized a holistic... Now, remember, the environment triggers the dopamine in you, gets to the brain. Dopamine secreted in the brain through the nervous system and the synaptic gap, and that's a neurotransmitter, a chemical the body naturally produces as a result of something in the environment that triggers those dopamine, with that dopamine or serotonin, GABA, that is pleasure. And so your mind then looks in, with your mind, you look into the environment for what? For what produced the pleasure. And so that's holism. And as long as, see, it's focused on pleasurable things, and removing the pain of life. Well, we're just set our mind on things above and not on this things of this earth. Paul says, I've learned to be content in whatever condition I find myself in, whether rich or poor, whether suffering or in, you know, the pleasure. I'm not guided by the world. I'm guided by God. He's the one who directs my steps. But this is holistic. Humanistic concept of the person provides impetus, there's the purpose, and form, there's the structure, to the encounter group. So when you send your child down there to the youth group and they're doing the I feel and I think thing, their impetus is for the group. They're going to work for the group. They have their identities found within the group. That's holistic. That's humanism. And the structure of dialogue is the form. Having a form of godliness, but the power is denied. What's the form? They evaluate. The power is denied because God is not going to work with man's evaluation. Eve evaluated. And what did God do? He judged it. Because you and I can only evaluate from our flesh unless we take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ, unless we weigh everything from the Word of God. But you talk about a negative-minded person today going around weighing everything from the Word of God, because we're in a dialectical world, a groupthink world, winning friends and influencing people world. And so there's the encounter group. You encounter the group and you encounter your salvation because you're born again in the group. Now, Irvin Yalom labels some of this. He says, theoreticians, it's all theory. Theory is I think. Well, what do you think? Opinions are theoreticians. And he lists these people. Freudian, Sullivanian. Now, Harry Stack Sullivan worked with the UN. Oh, abominable stuff. I've written articles on Harry Stack Sullivan. Hornian. And Rogerian psychology. I had a whole section, a series I've done on Rogers. Explored the application of their conceptual framework to group therapy theory and practice. So you have to bring the theory, how do you feel, or your thinking, what you're thinking, and the practice. You have to practice it. It's not enough to just sit and think about it. How would the world be? You have to go and change it. You sit in your room because your parents tell you you can't go out, and you're thinking about how the world would be. You've got to go out and confront them. You go out and challenge them. You've got to they're irrelevant. They're relics of the past. My training and education was to allow your child to share their oddities, and when your child came home, they would challenge your authority, because every time they talked to their oddity, that means they couldn't change. They were stuck to your standards. But now I allow them experiential chasm to share their oddities. And when they come home, they've had that experience of deliverance. And now you're the oppressor. And they will turn and they will rend you. And they'll create crisis in your home. And you no longer have authority in your home. You can force them to do things. And you have to use more and more force. And they just stare at you. And you can see the hate coming from them. This is the spirit of the Antichrist in the church. It is actually the foundation. Bloom's taxonomy. Every teacher in your community trained from it. This is the foundation they're trained in. They think they're doing well, but they're deceived. We'll continue on the other side of these messages.